This morning I'll be reading to you from the book of Acts, chapter 9, verses 1 through 9 and verses 17 through 20. That's Acts chapter 9, verses 1 through 9 and verses 17 through 20. Now before I read, I'll say a couple things. You'll remember that I mentioned up front that the saying that everything is okay until it's not. So think of this in the context, perhaps, of our own lives, to where we're following a path in our life, and we think it's the right path, and it can be in our personal lives, it can be in our church, it can be in our spiritual lives. We're following the right path that we think is the right path until we're made aware of something that we need to change, or that we suddenly realize that this has not been the right path at all, and we need to change paths, and we need to get another path, or we need to just change directions altogether. You've also heard it say that sometimes maybe we say a light bulb come on in our heads. We're especially if you're learning, or if you're a teacher and you're studying math, or you're studying something, and then all of a sudden when you finally get it, you say, well, the light bulb come on. Or you might say that I seen the light, and I seen what it was like, and what I needed to do a little bit differently. Well, the message today is about the Apostle Paul, who, before his conversion to Paul, who was Saul, who actually seen that light, who had a big change, who everything was okay until it was not. He's traveling a road, doing what he thought was right in life, and then one day, something happened, something big happened in his life, and he realized that he had been on the wrong path all along. He seen the light, a light bulb come on, and his life changed. And he chose to be changed after all of this happened. So I invite you to hear now these words from Acts 9, verses 1 through 9, and verses 17 through 20. So meanwhile, Saul, still breathing threats and murder against the disciples of the Lord, went to the high priest and asked him for letters to the synagogues at Damascus, so that if he found any who belonged to the way, men or women, he might bring them bound to Jerusalem. Now as he was going along and approaching Damascus, suddenly a light from heaven flashed around him. He fell to the ground and heard a voice saying to him, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? He asked, who are you, Lord? The reply came, I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what you are to do. The men who were traveling with him stood speechless because they heard the voice but saw no one. Saul got up from the ground, and though his eyes were open, he could see nothing. So they led him by the hand and brought him into Damascus. For 3 days he was without sight and neither ate nor drank. And in verse 17, so Ananias went and entered the house. He laid his hands on Saul and said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus who appeared to you on your way here has sent me that you may regain your sight and be filled with the Holy Spirit. And immediately something like scales fell from his eyes, and his sight was restored. Then he got up and was baptized. And after taking some food, he regained his strength. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. So I want you to imagine this man who thinks that he is doing the right thing. He thinks that the way he understands God is the right way, and that what he is doing is pleasing to God. So his understanding of theology, his understanding of God, might have been better described as the understanding of God according to according to Saul. Or so theology according to Saul, or whatever the case is. But his understanding was that he was to lift God up, but this whole Christian thing that it wasn't supposed to be happening. You notice what he was wanting to do. He's on this Damascus road because he sent a letter to the high priest and asked him for the synagogue to provide information about those who were part of the way. The way meaning the followers of Christ. And he wants to take them back to Jerusalem. And you think of what's happened not long ago, that Christ was crucified. And so bring them back to Jerusalem because Jerusalem is still ripe for this persecution. They believe that this Christianity is a threat to their belief, to their way, to God, and that it's not a godly thing. So Saul is thinking these things. And as a result of all of these things, he's trying to carry out his understanding of theology based on his own beliefs and his understanding. So he has persecuted Christians. He has caused their deaths. You notice it says he continued to breathe these thoughts and these murderous thoughts. Caused them to be killed. Caused them to be persecuted because he thought he was doing all of this in the name of God. So he thought he was doing the right thing. And when you think about somebody who has it together, he's fairly well respected. He's fairly well known. Thought he's doing things the right way. He's in a strong position. But somewhere along the way, he got wrapped up and conformed by the world rather than by the Word of God, or rather than by the truth. And we see that in a lot of places. We see people all across this world and this country doing things in the name of God or in the name of their God, believing that they're doing the right thing. When in all actuality, they're doing harm. They're doing hurt. And they're not doing those things that are consistent with what we believe. There are churches that even today claim to be Christian churches that do hurtful things to those who are serving in the military or those who have made decisions in their life about different things, that they do some things that are really hurtful, and they do this in the name of God. Well, I can tell you that our God is not a God of hurt. Our God is not a God of saying that I am going to punish you to the hilt for everything that you do. Our God is one of grace and mercy. And our God demonstrates this grace and mercy after this encounter with Saul on this Damascus road. So Saul had a plan. He was on this Damascus road to go find out who it was that was still committed to the way in Jesus Christ. And he was going to bring them back to Jerusalem. But on the way, something happened. You might say that a light bulb come on. You might say that he's seen the light. And you might say that his life changed in a moment's time. And all of those things are correct. Because his life did change in a moment of time. And it all started with a brilliant flash of light from the heavens. So he saw this light physically. And then as a result of seeing this light physically, he also saw it spiritually. Now I want you to think for a minute about how bright a light would have to be to cause you to not be able to see. So the sun gave us a little hint earlier and let us see it for a little bit. And it was pretty bright while it was out. So Saul was traveling down this Damascus road in the daylight. Imagine how bright a flash of light would have to be to take your vision away to where you could not see in the daylight. And that's how bright it was. It was that sudden, bright flash of light that just totally wiped away his vision. And he could not see a thing in the daylight. He was totally disoriented. His sense of direction, his bearing, his sight, everything was disoriented. And suddenly he found himself lying on the dirt. I'd like to say he dropped to his knees and prayed, but he didn't. He fell to the ground. And he's on that dirt road, and he hears a voice. Everything just all of a sudden, boom, it just changed. Life changed. Now, one of the things that we used to use whenever I was on a tactical team was something called a flashbang distraction device. And we would use this before we made entry into an area, before we made entry into a structure, before we made entry into a room. And I don't care if it was daylight or if it was dark. When we dropped those things, something happened. Now, we turned away so that we didn't get distracted. We didn't look directly into the light. And we held our mouths open so that we didn't get affected by the blast. And we would turn away and then would drop the device after checking to make sure that it was clear. And then we had about 10 seconds after we entered a structure while everybody was still totally disoriented to do whatever we needed to do. Because they're going about their business, and then all of a sudden everything changed. They're totally distracted, totally confused, because boom, this explosion and this bright flash of light. And people don't know what happened. And they always said, we didn't even know what happened. We thought the world had come to an end. Well, Saul is riding into Damascus, and he probably thought the world had come to an end because of a bright flash of light, and he was totally disoriented. And he's laying there in the dirt like, what happened? Am I dead? Am I alive? Maybe I need to pinch myself. Maybe I need to count my fingers and my toes, make sure that everything's still good. Am I alive or what? I can't see. And I'm on the ground. A minute ago I was here, now I'm here. What's happened? And then he's laying there. And then all of a sudden, he hears his voice. And so he's probably thinking, oh no, I'm dead or something. But he hears this voice. And it was a low, deep voice. Kind of that same voice that we heard, or that Moses heard, not us, but that Moses heard on the mountain. When God said to Moses that you're on sacred ground and behind a burning bush. And so we see a light theme here in the scripture about light. I mean, how things change in the burning bush and Moses, and now a light on a Damascus road with Saul and some other stuff too. But we hear this low, he hears this low voice, and everybody else around it hears it too, but they can't see anything. Neither can Saul. And he hears, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? So here he is. He hears this voice. He hears his name called. And he's like, why? I mean, he calls him by name, Saul. Why are you doing this? Why are you persecuting me? And I can imagine that Saul was scared to death. What's going through his mind? Could this be God? The living God who was saying that he was persecuting him? What have I done wrong? The world's come to an end. I'm dead now. Now I'm here and I'm being held accountable, and I realize that I have messed up, that I've been persecuting Christians, and that this was really the way and not some kind of just dogma that was going around, that it was really the truth. And that he had also, and it's got to be going through his mind, listen, I'm being asked why I'm persecuting, and the only people I've been persecuting are Christians, and man, I've killed a bunch of them, and I've been speaking murderous thoughts. And so I've done all of this, and now here I am. What have I done? So Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? And Saul says to him, that who are you? He says, Lord. Who are you? Is this Lord? And then the next words establish that authority. They establish that position. They establish that power. Every time we hear I am in the Bible, or we read I am, that establishes God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. And it establishes their ultimate authority, their position. And that you know that Jesus said, I am He. And when we read in the book of John, in the first part, we establish how I am and how God is revealed to the world through Jesus Christ, the living Word of God. So I am is a powerful statement. So when Saul says, who are you, Lord? And then Jesus says, I am Jesus, the one whom you are persecuting. So at this point, Saul had to be thinking, I'm toast. I'm done. This is it, because here it is. This is it, ready to be struck down, punished. I'm blind for life, or I'm dead, or all of these things. Just go ahead and bring on the next part, because I have messed up. And I had this all wrong. I'm walking down my road, walking my path, living my life, thinking that everything is okay, until it wasn't. And then I realized that it wasn't.
And most of the time, or a lot of times, we don't have a chance to make a choice or to make a change after we realize that everything was not okay. But in this particular case, we see something happen that gives every single one of us hope. Because rather than Jesus striking Saul down at that point and saying, "You're done, game over, do not pass go." I mean, and rightfully so, think about it. He had persecuted Christians. He had caused their death. We have all of these things happen. But what happened in this midst, in this particular case, is that God poured out His grace and His mercy on Saul. And He caused a conversion experience. He caused a change. He caused everything that we thought was okay until it wasn't. He caused it to be okay again because He caused Paul to change. So He sent Ananias later to see Paul. And Ananias said, no, I don't want to do this. This is the guy that killed all of us Christians. And he persecuted all of us Christians. You got the wrong person. Don't send me to do that. But Ananias was obedient. And God said, go. So he went. And he laid his hands on Saul. And the scales fell off his eyes. And Saul could see. And what happened next is Saul was baptized. And he became the Apostle Paul. And that gave us a hope. If God can use somebody like Saul who killed Christians, persecuted them, and did everything he could to undermine the church and Jesus Christ as the salvation, then He can use us. And He can use any person. It don't matter what our background is. It don't matter if we've had issues with addictions to drugs or alcohol, pornography. It don't matter if our career choices were something that were pretty interesting that we wouldn't want on the front page of the paper. It don't matter if we've been through divorces or if we've committed adultery. It don't matter if we've committed some major sins. It don't matter. What matters is that we have that conversion moment and we say, the light bulb has come on, I've seen the light, Jesus has given me a chance to change, and now, yes, Lord, I'm changing. Here I am, use me. Where You lead me, I will follow. That's what matters. Because all of our past is broken. Every one of us have made mistakes. Every one of us have done something we're not proud of. And we still struggle with that today. I mean, we prayed about it this morning on the prayers in the Wesleyan Spirit. In repentance, I feel my remaining sin, my faith. I receive Your power to purify my heart and cleanse my hands. In repentance, I realize the consequences of my brokenness. By faith, I am conscious of Christ pleading for me and Your liberating pardon. And so, we pray these prayers, but we know that we still make some mistakes. But if God can use Saul, who then became responsible for many of the books in this thing that we call the Bible, and we say that the Scriptures are sufficient, and the Scriptures are the truth, well, the Apostle Paul penned a lot of these New Testament books. And it's what we read on Sundays, and it's what we believe on Sundays, because he changed, and God used him. So when somebody says, "I can't come to church because God only knows," well, they need to hear about the Apostle Paul. Because God will accept you. And God will use you. So brothers and sisters, what I'll offer today is that there are a lot of places in our lives where we might become spiritually blind. There might be a lot of places where we become physically blind. There might be something that is distracting us or disorienting us. But at the end of the day, what we have to remember is that we must pray for God's will to be done. That God would use us and send us in ministry as a body of Christ together as the church. And even on our individual spiritual journeys. Never say no to the Lord that you can't do something. Because if He's calling you to do it, He's going to make it work. Never say, "Lord, if You only knew what I've done in my past, then You wouldn't have me doing this." I can tell you, a lot of the preachers that I've talked to, my own stories as well, where we've come from, is all some pretty interesting places to get to the point of being pastors. And where you've come from, you come from some really interesting places to get to this point to be sitting here. Because if we were judged on our perfection, we all would have a problem right now. But praise be to God that we're not. And the God who showed His grace and mercy
to Saul and caused his conversion to be the Apostle Paul is the same God who loves us and who sent his Son for you and for me, and is the God who continues to be with us. So I would invite you to spend some time with your own spiritual thoughts and with those couple questions. Where has my light bulb been? When did my light come on? Where did I see the light? Or where was everything okay until it wasn't? And what did I do about it? Remember that God loves you and God will use you. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.